Welcome to the International Claim Association, ICA, Educational Podcast Series. This podcast series is part of a professional development curriculum designed for ICA members and insurance professionals. Welcome to the ICA Educational Podcast Series. This podcast series is part of a professional development curriculum designed for ICA members and insurance professionals. Today's podcast is sponsored by the ICA Law Committee and presented by Robert Lesko, Fisher Broyles, LLP. What is STOLI?
STOLI, which stands for Stranger Originated Life Insurance, is insurance originated by and for the benefit of strangers to the insured, just like the name sounds. A state Supreme Court, actually the New Jersey State Supreme Court, recently provided a more formal definition of STOLI as, quote, a practice or plan to initiate a life insurance policy for the benefit of a third-party investor who, at the time of the policy origination, has no insurable interest in the insured. And the court further explained that it occurs where, quote, a third party without an insurable interest procures a life insurance policy or causes one to be procured in a way that feigns compliance with the insurable interest requirement.
What's the problems then with STOLI?
Well, there's a moral hazard inherent in all STOLI policies because the owner and beneficiary of the policy is financially interested in the insured's death. That is, from the investor's perspective, the sooner the insured dies, the better. Where the owner and beneficiary of a life insurance policy is a family member or a business partner, for example, they're generally more interested in the continuing life of the insured person. This interest may be based on either genuine love and affection, such as a close family member or a spouse, or a financial interest, such as in the case of financial support from a breadwinner or profits generated by the insured for her partners in a business relationship. Life insurance in those situations is intended to indemnify or compensate a beneficiary for lost companionship, services, or financial support when the insured dies. But where the owner and beneficiary are strangers to the person insured, the contrary is actually true. The strangers are far better served by the insured's premature death, believe it or not. And that's the moral hazard. In some sensational examples, stranger beneficiaries have even acted to hasten the death of the insured. This moral hazard is precisely the reason that the law imposes an insurable interest requirement for life insurance policies in all states. The insurable interest requirement mandates that an insurance policy can only be purchased by one who has a genuine insurable interest in the insured at the time the policy is issued. After that, of course, it can be sold or otherwise transferred like any other property, but there's got to be insurable interest, a genuine insurable interest at the time the policy is issued.
Okay. How does STOLI fraud affect the risk undertaken by the insurer?
It affects risks in at least three ways. First is fraud in the application. Applications for STOLI policies typically contain misrepresentations regarding the insured's health, the insured's wealth, or the intentions or purpose for applying for the insurance, or a combination of all three of those. So what? Well, if there are misrepresentations regarding health, wealth, or purpose of the insurance, these could all alter the mortality risk assumed by the insurer, which presents an otherwise typical rescission situation, but in STOLI cases, it's specialized to STOLI misrepresentations. The second way in which STOLI transactions or STOLI fraud affects life insurers' risk is with respect to pricing. Stranger investors behave differently than traditional policy owners with respect to payment of premiums, and this affects pricing. In the case of flexible premium policies in particular, investors will pay the bare minimum required to keep the policy in force. Investors typically do a better job of avoiding policy lapses and generally would not allow a policy to lapse intentionally because they forfeit their investment. This differs from traditional policyholders who typically overfund flexible premium policies for investment or savings purposes and occasionally allow policies to lapse intentionally when they no longer had a use for the insurance or could no longer afford it. Policies were historically priced accordingly, with many companies using the excess funding and lapses to discount premiums in order to remain competitive in the market. So that's not the case with stranger-owned policies. Now, with respect to pricing, companies have gotten better at pricing in the potential for STOLI occurrences. So pricing, I think, is less of a concern, at least for some companies, but is still a consideration. And then finally, the third way that STOLI affects risks is by placing the historical tax exemption in jeopardy. Life insurance death benefits have long enjoyed special tax exempt status, and this helps to make life insurance attractive as an estate planning and wealth transfer tool. The underlying logic for the exemption is the notion that death benefit payments reflect compensation or indemnity for a loss of income or support resulting from the premature death of the insured person, rather than a profit-generating transaction, which is what STOLI policies really are. Proliferation or even tolerance of life insurance purchased as a backer to a security traded for profit could conceivably dilute that distinction and even jeopardize the congressional support for the exemption.
Can insurers do anything about that?
Well, that depends on the answer to two questions. The first question is, when was the policy issued? And secondly, what state's law governs the disputes regarding the policy? If the policy was issued less than 2 years prior to the insured's death, then the validity of the policy likely can be challenged based upon either lack of insurable interest or just misrepresentations in the application, or a combination of both. If it has been in force for more than 2 years, that is, the contestable period has expired, then the company may still be able to challenge the policy for lack of insurable interest, depending upon which state's law governs, but might otherwise be barred from challenging the policy based upon misrepresentations in the application.
Okay. Can you tell us a little more about the interplay between the contestable clause and insurable interest, and why a STOLI policy can be challenged despite expiration of the contestable period?
Well, applications for STOLI policies often include misrepresentations about the insured's level of income and net worth in order to qualify for the insured for a higher death benefit than they might otherwise be qualified. As a result, many STOLI rescission actions have historically been based on fraud in the application, or just misrepresentations regarding income and net worth, in addition to being challenged based upon lack of insurable interest. Of course, contests, as I mentioned just a moment ago, contests to policy validity based on misrepresentations in the application are limited by the contestable clause, which is statutorily mandated in virtually all life insurance policies, and bars contests after the policy has been in force for 2 years, sometimes 3 years, depending upon the state, during the insured's lifetime. STOLI promoters and investors have counted on the contestable clause to also protect them from actions to invalidate policies based on lack of insurable interest beyond the two-year contestable clause. Uncertainty as to applicability of contestable clauses to insurable interest has led courts to some, or in some states, to unfortunate results, precluding insurable interest challenges after the contestable period has run. Decisions like that have led several state legislatures to adopt statutes expressly excluding insurable interest violations from the reach of the contestable clause. In other states, courts have simply declared that contestable clauses do not bar challenges based on lack of insurable interest. Courts in at least 8 states have declared STOLI policies illegal and void ab initio, regardless of the time between policy issuance and commencement of the suit to declare the policy void. In 2011, for example, the Delaware Supreme Court became the first state high court to definitively declare STOLI policies to be illegal as contrary to public policy against wagering on human life. The New Jersey Supreme Court followed suit in 2019, also declaring STOLE policies to be illegal wagering contracts, also contrary to the public policy in New Jersey. Federal courts in at least six other states, including Arizona, Nevada, Indiana, Tennessee, Georgia, and North Carolina, have predicted that the high court in each of those states would follow Delaware and New Jersey's example in declaring STOLE contracts illegal. These courts reasoned that the contestable clause could not be employed to preserve a contract that was illegal at its inception and therefore void ab initio. In the meantime, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the NAIC, and the National Council of Insurance Legislators, NCOIL, have developed two competing model acts in response to the emergence of STOLE. At least 31 or so states have since adopted some form of legislation that specifically defines and regulates STOLE, many of those declaring STOLE illegal. In at least four states with anti-STOLE legislation, New York, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and California, courts have since held that these statutes are not retroactive and therefore do not invalidate STOLE policies that were procured and issued prior to the effective date of the statutes. Florida is one of the states that enacted anti-STOLE legislation in 2017, following a declaration by the Florida Supreme Court in 2016 that held the contestable clause does bar insurers from invalidating policies on the basis that they were initiated as part of a STOLE scheme after the expiration of 2 years. In other words, the Florida Supreme Court said that the contestable clause does bar challenges even to STOLE policies after 2 years. The Florida statute now specifically clarifies that STOLE policies are void ab initio and they are incontestable. That is, the incontestable clause does not bar contests based on lack of insurable interest. It's not yet clear whether that Florida statute will be applied retroactively to invalidate STOLE policies procured prior to its effective date. At least as of this writing, the writing of our script edit, it has not been decided. The weight of opinion, I think, of commentators in the field is that it probably will not be retroactive, though.
Great, thank you. Will we have to refund premiums paid?
Actually, insurers may be entitled to keep all of the premiums, or at least some of the premiums paid for STOLE policies that are declared void ab initio. More specifically, investors may have no recourse to secure a refund of the premiums paid for illegal STOLE contracts. The reason for that, Chris, is historically a court that's presented with claims under an illegal contract, a contract that's illegal, would leave the parties as it finds them rather than sully itself by aiding the parties in furtherance of an illegal contract, an illegal undertaking. This approach leaves investors with no remedy or recourse to secure a refund of premium that they paid. But more recently, courts have recognized some exceptions to this rule. A court may consider the circumstances surrounding acquisition of the policy. If the court finds that the owner was a party to or complicit in the original scheme to procure the policy pursuant to a fraud scheme, or if the current owner knew or should have known that the policy might be a stolen policy, the court is likely to, quote, leave the parties as it finds them, close quote, and not require any premium to be refunded. Where a court finds that the equities militate in favor of a premium refund, however, the court may nevertheless decline to refund premiums made by those involved in the underlying conspiracy that initially secured the policy legally and require instead refund of only those premiums paid by later investors who had no involvement in or knowledge of the scheme and would not have purchased the policy but for that genuine ignorance. STOLE actions will therefore likely require and do require discovery into the current policy owner's level of involvement in the original scheme or actual or constructive knowledge of the underlying STOLE scheme. And that dictates whether or not premiums need to be refunded and to what extent.
All right. And last question, should you challenge STOLE policies?
That's a question that each company needs to determine or assess for itself. Identifying and challenging STOLE policies does require substantial investment of time and resources that may not directly correlate to immediate economic returns. On the other hand, successfully invalidating a multi-million dollar STOLE policy might present a significant cost savings, especially in cases where the company need not fully refund premiums paid for the policy. But those life insurers that are committed to doing so, challenging policies, will find support in the courts of many states, as I've alluded to, throughout the country, as well as willing and enthusiastic partners in the industry, including reinsurers that may be willing to participate in the investment, and a strong group of outside counsel experienced in litigating such matters.
We hope you have enjoyed today's ICA podcast on disability claims. To learn more about ICA and future podcasts, please visit www.claim.org.